Everyone resting on their feet. It is time for the Word of God. I'd like to introduce the summer presenter of us, a man of no mean reputation. He is a great promoter of the gospel. He is our friend, our brother, our leader. Come on, put your hands together for our pastor, the pastor T.W. Jones. Come on, give it to him as he comes.
Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Father God, I thank you. Father God, I love you. God, I pray that you would send an anointing that makes preaching easy. Destroy every yoke. Bind the enemy on every hand. For God, you know succinctly each and everything that we need. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. Bind the hand of Satan everywhere. We'll thank you. We'll praise you. We'll glorify you. Now, God, anoint this vessel of clay to speak a word, God, a word of healing, a word of deliverance. A word that will lift up the hung down head and mend the broken heart. That your word might be glorified. That your word might be honored. And that your word might be obeyed. Come on, give God some praise. All over the building. Yay! Anointing. Fall on me. On me. On me, anointing, fall. Hallelujah. While you're standing, turn, if you will, in your Bibles to the book of Genesis, the 25th chapter. Genesis 25. The 28th to the 34th verse. Truly, it's an honor to stand before God's people, such a great people, that if it had not been for the Lord on our side, all week long dealing with sin and sinners, it just comes a time when you want to get in church and say, God, fix me. Yeah. Not my brother. Not my sister. But it's me, oh Lord. Fix me. Even me. Let some drops fall on even me. Yeah. Even me, Lord. I honor each and every one of you. It's a blessing to stand before God's people. Amen. I am blessed to be here. Glad to be back. Amen. Amen. Thanking God for our associate pastor, Elder Lawrence, who celebrated his birthday. Amen. Thank God. Sorry I couldn't be here. Amen. I keep telling folks that little grandbaby. And trust me, I don't believe in it, but it almost seems like she got a spell on me. Amen. Amen. I realize that the Lord is in charge. Amen. But I thank God. Amen. Amen. Some rest and relaxation, a little R&R, and I'm back. Amen. And I have a word from the Lord. So I bless each and every one of you, Pastor Lawrence and our associate pastor Lawrence and Diane White, and for Elder Sean and Missionary White, and for Elder Tate and Missionary Tate, and for Superintendent Mark Jones and Missionary Deborah, all the mothers in Zion. Amen. Elder Scarborough, Mother Ma. McCullum and Mother Coleman right there. Amen. And our church mother. Amen. Mother Carwell. I thank God for those that are training. I thank God for my wife of 31 years. Amen. Bless God for her. Amen. Amen. She's been a little sick. You know, every time we get on a plane, amen, when we get to the other end, she don't feel the same. Amen. 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 And you know, there's a whole lot of stuff in a confined place. Amen. On a plane. Amen. Amen. And it ain't nowhere to run. Ain't nowhere to hide. Amen. So I honor her, this great woman of God, missionary Sandra Jones. Y'all can give her a good God bless you. Amen. Amen. We thank God for those that went down to our holy convocation. Amen. Thank God for you. The Bible declares in the book of Genesis, the 25th chapter, starting at the 28th verse, it says, "And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob saw pottage, and Esau came from the field and was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, 'Feed me, I pray thee, that the same red pottage, for I am faint.' Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, 'Sell me this day thy birthright.' And Esau said, 'Behold, I am at the point of death. And what profit shall this birthright do to me?' And Jacob said, 'Swear to me this day.' And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage and lentil, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright." You may be seated. On your way down, ask somebody, how do you act when you get faint? How do you act when you get faint? There is a danger that many in the church today are practicing. It's so dangerous that the Bible warns against this very thing. This danger is one of peril and one of risk. It is the danger of becoming a profane person. You might say, "Wait a minute, Pastor Jones, what you mean a profane purpose? What person?" The word profane means to be unhallowed and sensual, to be neglectful of spiritual things and a lover of the world and its things. Do I need to read that again? Unhallowed and sensual. In other words, it means that you're more interested in this world than God's world. Well, when we read from the book of Genesis, the 25th chapter, we read where Esau had been hunting. Apparently, he had been hunting a long time. When he returns from being in the field, the Bible says he was faint. After finding that his brother Jacob had already prepared some food, he came in the house and it was smelling good. Amen. He came in and the aroma of food, red beans, was all in the atmosphere. He came in and he found out that his brother had already prepared some food. He said, "Feed me, I pray thee, with the same red pottage, for I am faint." Jacob, being the planter he was, Jacob, being underhanded, dirty, low-down, rotten scoundrel, supplanter, trickster, said, "Well, if you faint, sell me your birthright." What will you do for a Klondike bar? Are you with me? How will you act He found a prime opportunity and tells his brother, sell me this day your birthright. Got him. You're hungry. I ain't talking no ordinary hungry. I'm talking H-O-N. Hungry. He was amen. He was real hungry. Not that ordinary stuff, but he was faint. So his brother took advantage. He starts saying stuff like, what would this birthright profit me? Because I'm about to die. Now, I can admire him because Pastor Tim wouldn't have sold no birthright. It'd have been a fight. We brothers. So, I'm hungry, and you trying to get me to tap out. No, I ain't going out without a fight. But, nevertheless, Esau wasn't that guy. He sold his birthright. What profit shall this birthright do to me? Or, what good can this birthright do for me if I'm about to die? While Esau's behavior shows something about his nature. This situation shows us that he was a profane man who cared little about spiritual things. Instead, he was being sensual, driven by his senses. Why don't you look at your neighbor and tell him, get out your feelings. Yeah. Yeah. See, folks get to feeling like something, feeling some kind of way. Y'all know what all these sayings now. I'm feeling some kind of way, but you really just in your feelings. But you know what I know? And the world ain't hit it. They even got commercials say, sometimes you feel like a nut. Sometimes you don't. That tells me that feelings change. Feelings are fleeting. Feelings come and go. How do you act when you feel like a nut? How do you act when you don't? Amen. Get out your feelings, church. Esau paints a picture of people who have no concern about things to come. This is how America and the world and the church has gotten. Folks are throwing away years of marriage for 4 minutes. This thing on. Folks tearing their house up for 30 seconds. I'm just trying to, I'm keeping it PG as I can. Even though, according to Hebrews 11 and 20, they both were blessed by Jacob, Esau lost out on more than his birthright. Y'all hear me? He sold his birthright, but he lost more than his birthright. He lost his father's blessing. You know you're dealing with a trickster. You know you're dealing with a real devil that's been tricking folks a real long time. And since you know that the feel ain't fair, since you know you're playing a game that ain't nobody playing fair but God, since you know that the world we live in is messed up, why in the world would you play by their rules? So Esau lost out on more than his birthright. He lost his father's blessing that would have empowered him to prosper in every area of his life. Future things. And he ended up having to serve his younger brother. Now, here's the problem. Well, the part that gets me is, when he realized what happened, now he want to kill him. He was too hungry to fight before. But now that he realized everything he lost, church, may I submit to you, don't wait till you see all the damage that the devil has done to start praying for your family. You ought to be praying for them in times of peace, because there's only two seasons, war and war on the way. When I joined the United States Air Force, they told me it's not if there's going to be another war, but when. And we prepare for war during time of peace. Why? Because we know it's coming. And the way we look at it, we keep the peace by force. Are you with me? That's why the saints have the ability to say, yea, though I walk through the valley in the shadow of my neighborhood, I'll fear no evil, for my God is the baddest in my neighborhood. I know that's 3 Timothy. I know that's some nonsense, but that's just modern day vernacular. Our God shall supply. He anointeth my head with oil. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. I have nothing to fear, for thy rod and thy staff. Don't wait till you get in a jam, then you want to fight. This blessing would have been an endowment of power resulting in prosperity and success. Notice that later in Genesis 27, the 34th verse, after realizing that he has lost everything, he cries with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and says to his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. But Jacob said, your brother came with deceit, subtlety, trickery, and taking away your blessing. Somebody read verse 36 and 40 of that, through 40.
And he said, is not he rightly named Jacob? For he has blessed me these 2 times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing.
Listen, he done gave it up for a bowl of soup. Done threw, y'all ain't with me. He done threw his life away for some nonsense, for a cup of soup, some ramen. Are you with me? This is the way the enemy tricking folks. For Delilah. I can't get no help in here. They ain't got quiet on me. He done threw his life away for some riches while I was rose. Wasn't even top shit. It was way down on the bottom. Dusty bottom. Are you with me? And then, after finding out how much damage he had caused, now he want to beg his father. Oh, daddy, don't you got a little something for me? Me. You know, his cries remind me of how we get when we figure out we done messed up. His cries remind me how we done got when we done walked away from God, and when we knew that all we had to do was cast all our cares upon him for cares for us. His cries remind me of how folks come to church after they done messed up and after everything else fails. Now they want to come and ask God to bring them out. When the fact remains that if I just keep my mind stayed on him,
The word says he'll keep you in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him. And before we allow the world to knock us to and fro. See, Jesus showed us the way. He slept in storms. Everybody else running and throwing stuff overboard, and he down there snoring. Listen, don't allow your, let me tell y'all something. God doesn't allow your circumstances to mess up your fellowship with him. Anybody get that? God doesn't allow what you're going through to mess up your relationship with him. But we can mess it up. We get to going through some earthly stuff, and all of a sudden, first thing we do is stop praying. Amen. We get to going through some stuff, and rather than fasting, we get a bowl of sherbet. Stress eaters. Hey man, I'm trying to impart some stuff in you. Don't allow the enemy to tear your household up because you sweating small stuff. Folks, I sit and listen to people talk, and here's the problem. We're not the first generation, and we're not the only people that's had through a kakistocratic government. I'll explain that to you if you don't know what I'm saying. Kakistocracy is when the worst people are in charge. We're not the first. David had himself. Hebrew boys, they had a king, a jacked up king. Are you with me? We're not the only ones. But and it can happen in the church. You can sit under some folks with no oil on them. Amen. So let's not sweat stuff when our God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, amen. Stop worrying about stuff and start praying about stuff. Start telling situations about how bad your God is. So his cries start to sound like some of our cries. Why me?
You've been listening to The Impact Hour with Pastor T.W. Jones. We invite you to worship with us every Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. Rehoboth Church of God in Christ is located at 1001 Indiana Avenue, Waukegan, Illinois. Our prayers are with you, and we hope to see you soon.